Welcome to Real Estate I Love It podcast. I'm Shelley Hoffman, real estate expert and community advisor. Join me and various guests who are expert in what they do, such as home inspectors, mortgage brokers, investors, wholesalers. There are so many aspects to our industry that most people are not aware of, and I'm here to help you learn about them. I'm an educator by trade, and this podcast is to educate you in the world of real estate. Hey, Matt, it's Shelley Hoffman here, and Matt's back. You agreed to be my first guest on this new show that I'm doing, so thank you very much. How are you today?
Absolutely. I'm good. I appreciate you having me on as a first guest, and I'm excited to help out.
Well, thank you. So what I'm going to do right now, for those of you seeing me look at my phone, is I'm going to share this, and nobody's probably watching us right now anyway, Matt, because nobody's connected to this page, but I'm going to share it to my personal page, and I'm going to tag both of us in it. So I'm going to say thank you, Matt, for being my first guest. So Matt, tell me a little bit about the new year starting off, because I know you're already working. I mean, it's January 5th and you're already in full swing of inspections, right?
Absolutely. So we have, you know, during the holidays, it slows down a bit. So you have like a 2 week, little bit of a slowdown period.
Yeah.
Typically for me, so this is my 12th year in business. I usually have a really, really big, what I call a bounce back January. So some of that holiday time is over. And January, for me, typically over the last 12 years, has been a huge month overall, because a lot of people are out looking. They've been in contact with their realtor maybe a month ago or a few weeks ago. And then that's kind of slowed down due to the Christmas and the New Year and the family gatherings. And now, I mean, starting January 2nd, we've had, you know, a few a day all the way. We're booking it next week already.
Oh, wow. Do you think just because of COVID not having the big parties and things, you know, I know from a real estate standpoint, the phone calls didn't really stop. People still wanted to see properties. Did you have that kind of law in between Thanksgiving and December, or was it pretty much nonstop just because people couldn't do what they normally do?
Yeah, you want to know what? It stayed really busy, probably right until Christmas, just, you know, a few days before Christmas. So typically I would say that Thanksgiving, you start to slow down a little bit. This year's a little different on both ends. And in your world, you know, our lack of inventory, quote unquote, has created a rush for people to make offers quick. So I found, at least for me, it was more, hey, how soon can we get this done? How soon can we get this done? There's multiple offers. And it was kind of a steep drop off right before, maybe a couple days before Christmas to the new year. It was probably slower than usual, but then, like I said, now a huge rebound month for January so far.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see if the spring market actually comes a little bit faster this year too, like that big hit.
Yeah, you know, I think some of that too is weather dependent through January, February, right? I mean, March is typically the monster year, but if 2021 starts out anything like 2020, I know in talking to you and a lot of my realtors, January and February of 2020, they were record-breaking months for a lot of home inspectors, and myself included. We were doubling and tripling our numbers, which, and then we know COVID hit, and the rest is history, so to speak.
So speaking of COVID, I was kind of curious about that. What did COVID do to your industry? Like, obviously, I know it did with mine. Some, we weren't allowed in the house, and then we were, and then we were allowed one person, you know, then two people. We still have some restrictions. They've lifted a little bit. But what did that do to you guys?
Yeah, I think, you know, initially, right, I think it was somewhere around March 20th when everything hit pretty badly, I would guess, the unknown. Mm-hmm. And as you know, for us, that's like that's when the busy time really, really picks up. So that initial, I would call it, you know, the initial punch, we had a couple of weeks of really, really slow time because there was so much unknown.
Yeah.
And then what that turned into, at least in my perspective and in our arena, I mean, you know, I have a couple guys that work for me, and I have a couple of friends in the industry who we do a high volume. So we're probably doing a couple thousand inspections, which is a lot for Onondaga County and the surrounding area. A lot of people who might have been on the cusp of selling their house, I think, tightened up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that created that lack of inventory, right? I use the analogy of the toilet paper, right? Everybody wanted toilet paper, and no one could get it. So it was kind of like the people that really needed houses were making crazy offers and, you know, over asking price, and the inventory was low. It was a great seller's market.
Yep.
What that caused us to do is, number one, less inventory means less deals across the board. Number two, you get into a situation with multiple offers where people, unfortunately, are waiving home inspections.
Right.
So we had a down year. I mean, overall, I think across the board, most people in the inspection business did less volume-wise than they did probably in any other year.
Well, and, you know, like I said, I have a I'm playing around with my banners a little bit. I told Matt I was going to do this to him. So that being said, if somebody wants to skip the inspection, one of the key things, you know, when I walk through people through a home and the other realtors I work with, you know, they have their wants and their needs, and we want to make sure they're buying a solid home. You know, that's one of the key things that I know that's on our mind as well. And that's where the home inspection comes in, because there's not everything that we're going to see. We're not trained to see everything like you are. But if somebody is in that seller's market, we have that frenzy again, and I myself or some of the other ones that I work with, you know, what are the key things that we should be looking for? Because I know you told me in the past that they'll hire you post the purchase to come in, just because they want to know what's going on with the house, right? So when you go in there post on a home that didn't possibly have that inspection done, you know, what are the key things that you're looking for that you're finding are kind of freaking the buyer out now? Like you actually have mentioned before where the energy starts to come out of them because they were so excited, they've closed, they're ready to move in, and now the home inspector's coming in and pointing things out. But what are some of those things that maybe don't get seen, and that's why the home inspection is important?
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, when you're buying a house, it's usually exciting. It's your first time, especially, right? You typically don't walk in the house and say, hey, what's in the crawl space, the attic space, or in the electrical panel, right? Right. When a couple walks into the house, it's, hey, we want to paint this. The couch can go there. We want to open up this wall. We're going to decorate like this. And that emotion, you know, overwhelms you. And I look at this like two ways, right? If you're in a situation where you have to waive the home inspection, I, again, working with a lot of realtors, I always say, you know, I post a lot on my social media. I work with the greatest realtors. I've become great friends. I have great people. I don't know any realtor that advocates to waive or not do a home inspection. I truly don't. They're all great people. They want to protect their client because they know, number one, that's the right thing to do. And number two, it's a long-term investment for their own business. So, you know, there's certain things when you walk into a house, you're not going to see, right? A buyer or an agent's never going to get in the attic space or a crawl space or, you know, pull electrical panel off. However, what they should do is kind of take a step back from the emotion and look at the 30,000 foot view, meaning an easy walk around the house focusing on just the foundation. So it's easy to walk around the house and see everything all in the big picture.
Yeah.
Look at just the foundation, your first walk all the way around. Do that again, second walk. Then look at the siding, then look at the windows. Ask the realtor, hey, do we know the age of the home? Is it in the disclosure? Can we see the roof? Is it snow covered, depending on the year in lovely upstate New York? But, you know, roof and foundation, those are typically your two biggest things. And then electrical comes from the inside, which that's the difficult area, right? And that's what I call the transition period. If you have someone like yourself that can walk through and say, hey, roof is only 10 years old, it's asphalt shingles, and we walked on the foundation from both the inside and the outside, that looks good. Okay, now what does the inside of the home look like? If you're in a situation where you have to waive the inspection, that's the number one thing that I find is electrical problems, right? We find, is it wired correctly? How's the panel? How old is it? And then it kind of compiles from there.
What about plumbing? Because I'll be honest, other than turning on the water, maybe flushing the toilets, do you find plumbing issues when you go in? Because those are things, especially get done when we're looking at a home, they also get done at the final walkthrough. You know, typically that's on our checklist. But
yeah, so typically in our world, we'll run every kind of faucet. We flush all the toilets, run the faucets, test the drains out. And, you know, for me, I'll run a sink in every bathroom at least 10 or 15 minutes just to make sure there's no, you know, kind of backing up. But that's where you might notice a little bit of leaks, right? If you're doing a walkthrough, it's kind of a higher pressure situation. You turn the faucet on, oh, yeah, it works, right? You know, you're not maybe looking underneath it. If the current homeowner has stuff that they're storing there, you might not be able to see there's even a minor leak. So that plumbing is obviously an important one, but it's another one that we typically find some issues with.
That's what that's always that fear, because water does so much damage. Electric, you have the fire; water, you have the plumbing. So the next question that I have for you, Matt, is what's typically not inspected during the home inspection?
Okay, couple things in our world, and one seems very easy, and that's jetted tubs. So jetted tubs are not a requirement in New York, and I'll tell you why. Sometimes it can become an issue in our world. it's the unforeseen, right? We can run it and see, make sure it's draining properly. But if those jets and those tubs aren't operated almost on a weekly basis, the seals in them have a tendency to dry up. And that would probably be the number one cause of a lot of leaks. It actually happened in my personal house when I bought it. They never used a jetted tub. I removed it, and it just had a small leak that you may never know until, unfortunately, it's too late, right? It goes on your insulation. It takes a long time to show, and that's a major problem. Wow. So typically, if those aren't run, I always recommend saying, hey, at your final walkthrough, have the homeowner set it up. Make sure there's no problems. That way, if there isn't a leak, then it's always like, hey, it was never a problem until the inspector showed up, right? We're the easy person to point the finger at. That's one. And another very, very important one is if you have a chimney, we can only see so much from both the top, if it's not covered, as well as inside the chimney. But by design, you can't see everything in there. You should really have a chimney company come through with a camera, make sure there's no major cracks, make sure everything looks good on top of what we can see from the visual standpoint. So there's too much of a risky area in the smoke box and up and down the chimney to make sure that it's safe for someone to use for a wood-burning fireplace, that is.
Anybody that's had a home inspection will see there's a section where if you have a question on a chimney, it'll say, have it inspected by, and then whoever that specializes in that. So I've talked to sellers, I've talked to buyers. Sometimes sellers talk about getting a home inspection before they put the house on the market, just so that they know exactly what they're getting into. From a real estate standpoint, those of you that don't know, if you do a home inspection and it winds up on the report, you then have to disclose it. So that's what sometimes discourages sellers at the same time from doing that. But I know that I find that even if there is a home inspection there done by the seller and the buyer still wants their own, I mean, everybody kind of has a different way of looking at things. But for the most part, you guys tend to be on the same page, I would say, correct? But so if a buyer sees that a seller did their home inspection, do you feel they should get their own because that home inspector worked for the seller? Or do you typically, if you do a seller's home inspection, you find that they don't do a second one when the buyer walks through?
I would say it's 50-50, right? I think there's a little bit of a misconception here that if a seller hires somebody, that they may be friends, that they may know them. And that honestly is not the case. I always tell people, it doesn't matter if I do an inspection, for my mother, right? It's my license number, and I have to find, I can't not see something. Now, how the conversation goes from there is where there might be some, a little bit of a delineation between how I present and how the next person may present, right? Yeah. But I would have confidence. If you have a licensed home inspector, you can see, hey, this was mass spec, here's his license number, it was Essential Home Inspections, that I had to adhere to the New York State standards. And again, it doesn't matter if I'm doing it for you, right? There's a checklist of things that I need to go through to make sure it's safe. And the backside of that, I actually like it when a seller wants to do a home inspection because it tends to show that they're not trying to hide anything. And in fact, the opposite, right? They want to figure out if there's any of those, little things, because they may talk to someone like you and say, hey, if we have an FHA buyer or a VA buyer, is there anything different? And you're like, absolutely. And we can knock out some of those little things so that when a buyer comes through, it's already done.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And like I said, we see them and the rules, the regulations, it's pretty strict. I mean, you guys have to go through some training and get recertified quite often, correct?
That's right. Continuing education, just like yourself. We have 24 hours every 2 years. You pass a state test. It weeds out a lot of people. Like every industry, it's not everybody. I use the analogy of physicians in this. I used to be in the medical world. Every doctor has to pass a test to become a doctor. And then from there, what they choose to do and how hard they choose to work, that's on them. And that's like that in every single industry, right? From the agents that might do, again, I don't know the numbers in your world, but some agents might do 10 million, 15 million. Other ones might do 1 million. And It just depends on where they are and what they're doing and how hard they're working, I guess. So it's the same in our industry, but with the major safety items, if you're a licensed home inspector, you're most likely, you're going to catch the big stuff, right? It depends on how nuanced the inspector is from that point, but the big stuff is pretty straightforward in our world.
So my favorite question that another inspector that you and I both know well, I love his answer, but people will say, well, what happens if it fails the home inspection? It's really not a pass or fail, correct?
That's correct. It's, you know, and I've heard that more and towards the back end of 2020 as a way to position the home inspection, which I understand it, right? It's, hey, it's more pass or fail. It's in our world, we present a report, you know, for me, a digital report with a lot of pictures and a lot of videos. It's then going to be the buyer's decision based on what we find. Do they want to move forward or do they not? Or, you know, if it's a typical transaction, is it time to negotiate? If there's anything major, and that's one of the things I like to talk about, is on the pass-fail side, a home inspection report is not for the buyer to, you know, quote-unquote nickel and dime for every little thing that we find. In my opinion, a good home inspector is going to point out even just general recommendations and good homeowner information. So you can't expect a seller to fix every little thing. Now, if there's safety items, I would expect that that's where, you know, you as an agent comes in and says, hey, 2/3 of the report is good for you to know. And maybe this 1/3 is things that we can address and kind of, you know, begin the credit or the negotiation or however that thing shakes out in your world. But yeah, the pass fail, it's just, that's not in our, you know, what we're there to do. We're there to present what the house looks like for a snapshot in time. And then they make a decision based on our findings.
Right. And that's a great way of explaining it. I always feel bad for a first time home buyer when they see a 20, 36 page home inspection and they think there's a lot of things wrong, but really you document everything. So whether it's satisfactory, it meets the standards, it's going to be on that report. But first time home buyers looking at that, and you, I've been there with you when you've gone through a report with them. It's overwhelming sometimes if you've never seen one.
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly what I mean from what the inspector does post inspection, I think makes all the difference, right? I mean, as you know, the other person you're talking about, I know very well, and myself, the one thing that I know that we do is we take as much time as needed to explain after the inspection, to go through every picture, every video, every note, to hopefully ease that conversation. Whereas if they just get the report and they look at all those pictures, that's where the overwhelming, like, oh my God, there's 30 pages, there's 75 pictures. Shelly, what do? We want it all fixed. If we would take, you know, the 15, 20 minutes or so that we do and say, hey, this is typical, this is normal, this is just good homeowner stuff. You know, I color code mine to like red, orange, and blue. We really highlight the red and we say, hey, this is a very easy fix, or this is something that I would address. Here's what I would do. And 9 times out of 10, as you can attest to, once they have that conversation with us, it's a much easier conversation with you, number one. Number two, it reduces how many phone calls go back and forth between you and I, myself and the buyer. You know, there's probably 4 or 5 conversations that go back and forth. It eliminates all that. It helps the transaction go a lot smoother.
Yeah. No, it's the explanation, like you said. And that's why some agents will come to the end. Sometimes we can't come to the end of the inspection, but it's very helpful when everybody can be there to go over the report together, which again, COVID made that a little bit difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. Communication is key. And we were doing a lot of stuff like this, right? Zooms or like FaceTime meetings. If they couldn't be there, depending on, you know, some of the rules and regs, it seemed like they were changing every week. The good thing is we were all able to adapt. I think the agents did a good job at adapting. Home inspectors did a good job at adapting and doing what we had to do. And it was just, as long as you can have these conversations, I think, about the inspection and not leave it up to the potential buyer, especially if it's a first time home buyer. It's daunting and overwhelming if they don't have a professional going through everything with them.
Right. You know, the other thing that we didn't touch on that's key is for a seller who's been in their home for 20, 30, 40, you know, 60 years, for them to see a home inspection to have 25 to 36 pages, sometimes they feel like their house is getting picked on. But when you live in a home, right, you just live in it day to day. You don't always notice that this outlet, you forgot it quit working 15 years ago because you just don't use it, you know? So from a standpoint of a seller, it can be overwhelming too. You feel like your house is almost getting picked apart.
Yeah, it's tough, especially if you have someone that's been prideful in their work and they've done little things over time. And that's another reason where I think it's very important for us to be able to talk to the buyer to say, hey, there were certain codes that were, you know, in effect when that house was built that, you know, or they were in effect when that house was built that are today. So, you know, you might see this on the report, but remember, it wasn't required back then. It's not like they're trying to pull a fast one on you, right? Yeah. Or if someone's been in the house for that long, maybe they didn't get a home inspection done. I mean, not many people were doing home inspections 50 years ago, right? There was no requirement for that. So they don't know what they don't know. Most of the time, I found that even the sellers are pretty good, right? No seller wants to have a safety issue in their own home that they're living in. They're not trying to cover that up. They just don't know. And most of the time, if you address something and say, if I'm saying, hey, Shelly, the seller should really, really know about this, they reach out to the listing agent and say, hey, listen, this one thing you may want to have addressed right away. And then from there on, you know, you guys have your deal that you guys do.
Yeah. And to extend that on our side, that conversation, you're right. The seller typically, because even if the buyer would choose to walk away at that point, the seller needs to fix it for the safety and the structure of their own home. So it's good information for them. So. Well, yeah. Matt, is there anything else you can think of as far as throwing out to the community from the home inspection standpoint?
Yeah, so the home inspections, you know, obviously I try to remove my bias as a home inspector, right? And, you know, it's funny. So in my social media, I try to be active. I try to show as much as I can. I'm getting better at that. And I'm always saying, you know, don't waive your home inspection. I understand that people have been put in a precarious position through 2020 to do so. But don't be afraid to hire somebody after the fact if you'd rather know than not know. And hopefully, you know, that list is small. It's kind of like the insurance that we pay for, right? You pay every month and you're like, man, what am I paying for? But if you do have an issue, you know, we can help you out, and then we get you hopefully to the right person that can help the problem out. So, you know, I appreciate you having me on for the first time. You know, whether it's my company or somebody else, hire a professional. Use us for what we've gone to school for. There's a lot of great home inspectors here locally in central New York. You know, and that's one area where I tell people, I work with some of my other quote-unquote competitors, and people think I'm nuts sometimes, but it's not, because there's enough for everybody to eat, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, if I'm working with one of my agents who's been with me for 10 years, I want to make sure that their buyer has a quality inspection, and I'll refer one of my competitors because I trust them, and they might do a good job too. So don't be afraid to reach out, to ask questions, and use us for what we're here for.
Great. Thank you. And thank you, Matt, for being the first guest on this. So hopefully, yeah. I know I always learn something from our conversations. I'm hoping the people watching did as well. So
absolutely. I'm glad that we could team up and hopefully, you know, help out and give back. You know, continue to follow us, I would say, you know, yourself included, myself. We do a lot of giveaways. We try to do as much as we can for the local community. It's not always financial, but we try to give time. We try to create awareness. We try to use and show off other small businesses. That way we can grow the community. That's how we can, you know, keep a tight knit, small and strong local community.
So we obviously talked about the home inspection piece of it. I do want to give you one more plug, Matt, just because I follow you through just even motivation, keeping people on track, life lessons. You do a lot more with social media than just giving the home inspection tips. So if you don't already follow Matt, you want to give some ways that they can find you, Matt?
And I'll put Yeah, absolutely. So I've recently kind of created a few different platforms now. So I have my personal page. Especially on Instagram and social media, just Matt_SPAC. You can search me and find me pretty easily. But I've also created a page for my home inspections too, both on, you know, both platforms, Facebook and Instagram. Essential Home Inspections. You just search that and I'll pop right up. And then I own another business, the Recovery Lounge, which has its own page too. I really wanted to decipher just, you know, fitness, health and wellness, motivation, home inspections, and then, you know, my personal page. So search me on any of those pages. We kind of have a distinct clarification on what we're doing. My personal page is just me, mostly fitness, health and wellness, motivation, trying to help people as best we can. Home inspections is pretty self-explanatory. I'm showing where I'm at during the day. I'm going to be posting a lot more stuff. One other thing I wanted to talk about really quick too was it's not all negative in our world. So that's the connotation, is that, you know, we're going to show a lot of bad stuff, talk about a lot of bad stuff. You'll see as I'm growing, I have thousands and thousands of photos, and I'm going to start posting both good, both bad. There are a lot of houses we walk into that are absolutely beautiful, as you can attest to. There's good quality work. It's done the right way. A flip was done good. It looks great. It's high-end appliances. I also point that out. Hey, there's brand new windows. The roof is brand new. Your appliances are brand new. These are all things you don't have to worry about for X amount of years. So I'm going to continue to get better at posting on the inspection page, all the good, the bad, and everything in between. And then same thing with the recovery lounge. We're doing a whole different medical side and health and wellness. That if you guys want to get into that as well, you can follow me on all three and reach out to me with any questions.
Perfect. Thank you, Matt. And thanks for that information. You know I follow you on all three. So
that's why I want to read that book.
I will talk to you soon. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Bye. Have a good one. Thanks. Bye.
That's it for this week's episode of Real Estate I Love It. Be sure to subscribe and leave a review on whatever stream platform you're using for your podcast. See you next time.